Hello and welcome to How to Walk in Divine Health, a radio outreach of the Living Savior Ministries. We have a special program today. Our speaker, Thurman Scrivener, is the senior pastor at the Living Savior Ministries. He is going to be teaching today the principles from God's Word on how to get healed and how to stay healed. We join today's message, Lord, I Need Help, already in progress.
Does God like sin? No, He does not. So, you know, If God wasn't a merciful God and a long-suffering and patient God, Miss Jackie, we would not be here, would we? No, I know I wouldn't be. I'm so grateful. He's so merciful and so kind and so gentle. I'm so glad that, Lord, when I confess my sin, that You do hear me and You do take that. And I'm glad I have 1 John 1:9 that says, you know, if I sin, I can confess my sin and You will restore me to fellowship. You will forgive my sin. I love that, don't you? That gives me comfort because I know every once in a while I make a mistake, just like you, you know. And when we make a mistake, we don't have to live in that sin. You know, we can get healed. We can get delivered. I mean, the thing that we don't see, which we're going to see this in the scripture here in a few minutes, we just don't realize that under the old law, they didn't have Jesus. So the enemy had power. In other words, the principle has never changed. See, the principle under the new covenant, he clearly says that if you confess your sin, I'll be righteous and just to forgive your sin. But if you don't confess your sin, it's not going to do anything. I mean, the sin is still there. Now, let me tell you, you have to be real, real careful. In fact, I had some questions asked at Baltimore by different people about certain things. And one of them is about grace. God is a God of grace. Yes, He is a God of grace. And I mean, if He wasn't a God of grace, there wouldn't be a soul alive on this earth today. Not one. Man, I mean, so anyway, when people realize that because of the grace of God, He does forgive you. And whenever He saves you, you get all your sins washed away when you get saved. But if you go tomorrow and commit another sin, that wasn't covered. You know, you got to confess that one. And when you confess it, will He forgive you?
Yes.
Yes, He will. What if you don't confess it? He won't forgive you. You have to confess sin for it to be forgiven. There's getting to be several people on Christian television today that's telling you that that's not true, that all your sins, past, present, and future, is okay, and they're already all forgiven. But let me tell you, that's not true. I have had too many experiences with God where I've got people and they've come to me and I've prayed for them and prayed for them and prayed for them, and everybody here at the Minister Center prayed for them and nothing happened. We couldn't get them healed until we finally found the sin, like unforgiveness or bitterness. When we find that sin, we confess that sin and then one simple little prayer and they get healed. Well, now then, if every sin you've ever committed from beginning to the end of your life has already been taken care of by the blood of Jesus and you don't have to confess sin, then why did those people not get healed when we prayed for them? Do y'all understand where I'm coming from? But when we do confess the sin, they get healed. And those that do, just like that story that young girl told me, she said, the Lord clearly told me that if I didn't forgive that man I'd had that unforgiveness against for 9 years, He was never going to heal that baby that I was praying for. And it wasn't even her baby. Just a child. That she'd learned listening to our stuff that God does heal. And so she wanted to start seeing people get healed. And they had some pretty good results. I don't know why, but I don't know why at this child, because they'd gotten several people healed. But when it come to this child, God would not release the healing power to that child until she got rid of her unforgiveness. Isn't that amazing? But who is the boss? Yeah. Can He do anything He wants to do? Yes, He can, you know, so He certainly can. So, but anyway, back under the old covenant, they didn't have the blood of Jesus to stand on like we have today. And that's why we can come, because of what Jesus did on the cross. And we're going to read about those things. I want us to go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, and we're going to recap just a little bit. In the King James Bible, start with verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, he has made you fit. Okay, let's go on to the next. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. And that's something to think about, by being delivered from the power of darkness. Every one of us in this room, when we were born into the kingdom of darkness. You were a child of the devil. I know you don't like to hear that, but it's just a fact. You know, you were, I were, everybody was born into the kingdom of darkness because God was not our father. The devil was, because we came from a lost world. It's just amazing how that works. Do you have to teach your children how to fuss and fight when they're little?
No.
Oh, they know how to do that, don't they? Do you have to teach them to love each other? Yes, and you have to do it over and over and over. Usually it don't last with just one teaching, does it? And why is that? Because your children are children of the devil. You think my little child couldn't be a child of the devil, but they are, even if you're a Christian. And there's something else I've noticed over the years, that if a man and a woman get married and they're not Christians, especially if both of them are not Christians, and then they have one or two children, those little children, they may never come to know Christ. Their eyes are so blinded by the god of this world because they belong to the devil. And it's difficult to get them born again into the kingdom until you really learn the principles of how it works. If, say, a few years later, after they've been married 5 or 10 years, they both get saved. Say they go to some kind of a meeting somewhere and they come to know about Jesus and they really accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And then they have maybe one or two more children after they got born again. It's real easy to see the difference in those two sets of children. That first two that was born out of wedlock or out of knowing the Lord, those kids will, I mean, they'll probably be on drugs. They'll probably be on alcohol. They'll probably commit sex out of wedlock. They'll bring children into the world out of wedlock. They do all kinds of things. And if you really don't understand what's going on and how to break that curse over those children, more than likely, those children's eyes will be blinded by the god of this world, and they'll go through their whole life never knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior, and they'll die and go to hell when they leave this place. But the children that were born after they got saved, then there's a totally different spirit in that mother and daddy when they both get the Spirit of God living in them. And so when they have those children, their children will be a totally different child. But after, when you get saved, he's delivered you from the power of darkness and translated you into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now see, before we didn't have that. Before we come to Jesus, that part did not work for us. We were lost and we were children of the devil. Let's go to the next verse, verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created. Now by him were what? Okay, let's make sure we get that. For by him were all things created. Then he goes into detail. He says that are in heaven and that are in earth. Then he goes into greater detail, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. According to that scripture right there, what did Jesus make? If he made everything, and is that what that scripture is saying?
Yes.
Yes. So then where does sickness and disease come from? From the Lord. I mean, if he made everything, you know, I mean, I've heard lots of people, I've even probably been guilty of it myself over the years. I'd say to somebody, you know, well, one thing about it, in heaven there ain't no sickness. And I believe that. There's no sickness in heaven. And so I said, you know, besides that, God, he don't have any sickness in him. So he could never make anybody sick. I used to believe that until I finally began to realize there's so many places in scripture that says everything was made by God.
Yeah.
Not anything. I mean, if this scripture in Colossians is the most detailed account you'll ever find, it makes no difference whether it was visible, invisible, whatever it was, God made it. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's what it says. He said, whether it be principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So let's go to the next verse, 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. In other words, just think. If people will tell you, and I heard a man down here, he was at Daystar the other day, and he was actually on the set with Marcus. Marcus asked him a question. Where does the devil come from? He says, Marcus, we really don't know where the devil come from. And I thought, I know where he comes from. I mean, I just read this. Who made the devil?
God.
God, absolutely right. God made the devil. Does God have to worry about the devil? No. I mean, before I learned these things, I used to think, God, if the devil is such a problem to you, why don't you, and you're such a big God and the devil was made by you, I said, why don't you just snap your fingers and this beast be gone? But that's not God's plan. God said he made everything for his purpose and for his glory, right? Everything. So here's what God made the devil for. In fact, who knows if you read that in John 10:10, what did God make the devil to do? That's exactly right. To steal, kill, and to destroy. Now, why would God make a critter to steal, kill, and to destroy? I mean, if everything was made by him, according to the scripture, God made the devil, right? And this was what he was made for, to steal, kill, and to destroy. Now then, if he did that, and he made him for that purpose, why in the world would God do that? Why would he make something that was made by him and for him that comes to steal, kill, and to destroy? Why does the devil hit one person and another person he doesn't hit? Well, let me explain it to you the way I see it. If you have two children, and one of them commits some kind of terrible sin, breaks your rule or whatever you want to call it, and if that child does something wrong, I mean really wrong, and you reprimand them, tell them, don't do that no more, and the next day they do it again, and the next day you do it again. After about 3 or 4 days, you've told this child not to do this, and you've told it to him over and over and over. Reckon it might be time to get the board out? Yeah. You look like a daddy. You know what I mean, right? At my house, that's the way it was, too. We would get the board out. Now, the child that was good, that wasn't doing nothing wrong, you'd never spank them, right? I mean, the one that's always doing everything right, you praise them. The one that's always doing everything wrong, those are the one that gets a spanking. Is that right, James? It's the good kids don't ever get a spanking, do they? When you were growing up, was there other more than one in your house? Okay, you had brothers and sisters.
Yep.
Okay, probably y'all didn't get as many spankings as you should have.
I got a few.
You got a few, though.
Yeah.
But every one you got, you deserved it, right?
Yes, I did.
In other words, daddy didn't just come by and beat on you every day just to beat on you, right? He only gave you a spanking when you deserved it, and probably you had deserved a whole lot more than you got. I know that was the way it was in my life. So if God, being the same way we are, and he needs a physical being or a spiritual being or whatever on this earth to take care of his light work, you might call it. You see where I'm coming from?
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Lord, I Need Help, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.